Morning. Today's Daf increases Chav Gimel. We start today on the Mishnah on Chav Beis Med Beis. Discussions back to taking us back to Ashim Talui. Although the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah that we said yesterday also brought us back to Ashim Talui. So this is not our formal reintroduction back to Ashim Talui, but it is a continuation of the discussion. In this Mishnah, we're going to have five different scenarios. We're basically going to have a couple of rules, and then just simply plugging them into the five scenarios. So, although the scenarios themselves are not so complicated, but the number of rules that we need to know are not a lot as well. Case number one. Before we get to case number one, this is like a holdover from the previous Mishnah. This has nothing to do with an Ashim Talui. It just has to do with the fact that a woman is going to be bringing a carbon in both scenarios, and it'll be the same carbon. So basically, it'll be a recycling of the carbon. We'll see. Ha'isha she'evia chatas ha'ov, im ad shelo nimlaka, no delo she'yalda. A woman gave birth, or let's say better, she definitely discharged something. But she's not really sure what she discharged. It may have been a fetus or may not have been a fetus, and unfortunately didn't survive. And unfortunately, we don't have enough evidence to tell us what exactly it was. So now she may have had a baby. Now, as such, she needs a kapara. She needs to bring karbanos of achatzos and olas so that she can be reintroduced to the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos. So even though it's not vadai, it's only a suffix, but still, she's going to have to bring the karbanos. And then, before malika, and the malika, of course, is a reference to the procedure in which the bird is actually shechted as a karban. So before malika, now, she has yediyah. She knows, in other words, somebody must have came and told her that what it was in fact a baby. And now this carbon is no longer being brought on a suffix, but now it's being brought on a vadai. Okay. And what changed vis-a-vis the carbon? Nothing. That's exactly the point. So te asena vadai shememishi mevi alohoda. Because it's going to be the same carbon anyway, so even though now she has shifted from bringing a carbon from a state of suffix to bringing carbon in a state of vadai, but as far as the carbon is concerned, it doesn't change. And so as a result of that, the carbon remains to be the same. Okay. The reason why we discussed this, if you remember, the previous Mishnah had a similar scenario where there were two ashamas that were being brought. One was a suffix and the other one was a vadai. And we also had the similar idea that we're basically going to be recycling because it's going to be the same carbon. Right? Remember yesterday, machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, and now we begin. Five cases in the Mishnah that are going to just go over scenarios with a couple of principles. And it's just a question of plugging in the principles to all five scenarios. Scenario number one, chaticha shel chulin v'chaticha shel hekdesh. Two pieces of meat in front of you. One was chulin, the other was hekdesh. Achal achas mehem ve'en yodea emeizem achal. You eat one of the two pieces, you don't know. So this is a classic scenario of, now I'll say Ashim Talui, but remember, by a me'ila, whether or not you're going to be bringing an Ashim Talui on a suffix me'ila, that's a machlokas. We just saw it. Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva says you do, and the Chachamim say you do not. And so therefore, over here, what is going to be the outcome? Same outcome, machlokas. So according to the Tanakhama Pater, you do not bring a carbon because you do not bring an Ashim Talui on a suffix me'ila. Rabbi Kiva mechayev Ashim Talui. Rabbi Kiva says that you're chayev. And this is good. This is consistent with what we already know regarding the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. But let's now develop the case a little bit more. Achal sashnia. Now let's say you ate the second piece. So now sach hakol, you ate both pieces. One of them is kodesh. You don't know which one, but you ate it because you ate both pieces. So then maybe Ashim Vadai. So here you're going to be bringing an Ashim Vadai, and there's nothing much more to talk about. Achal echaz rishon va'achir va'achal sashnia. Another permutation of this first case is that you ate with the first piece. Somebody else comes along and eats the second piece. Zay mevi Ashim Talui v'zay mevi Ashim Talui div Rabbi Kiva. So according to Rabbi Kiva, each person is going to bring an Ashim Talui because each one of them possibly ate Kodesh, and Rabbi Kiva Lishita so says that you bring an Ashim Talui on a Suffik Me'ila. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shnei Mevim Asham Echad. Now Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the two of them are going to be bringing one Asham. Really interesting position, Rabbi Shimon. It basically goes like this. Rabbi Shimon says, look, I ate a piece, you ate a piece. We don't know which one of us ate Kodesh, but one of us did. Okay. Now what? So here's what we could do, and Rabbi Shimon actually allows it, and that is that we'll bring an Ashim Vadai, we'll bring a definitive Ashim, and as far as who's it going to serve for, whoever needs it. Meaning either I need it or you need it, Sach HaKol, one of us for sure needs it, we just don't know which one. So when we bring the carbon, we'll just make it tonight. We'll make a condition. If I'm the one who needs the Ashem Vadai, so it'll work for me. If you're the one who needs it, it'll work for you. And he allows for a Tanai to be done under these circumstances. And Rav Yossi Amar Ein Shnayim Mevi'im Ashem Echad. And Rav Yossi just simply fundamentally disagrees with this idea that you could do it al Tanai. Rashi on the top of the Amun Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, Delay Slay Tanai Bekarbonos. He simply doesn't subscribe to this idea that you can bring Karbonos conditionally. So Elaim Kedivri Chachamim Peturim V'im Kedivri Rabbi Kiva Kol Echad Mevi Ashem Taloi. Now, in terms of Rabbi Yossi, what carbon do they bring? Well, it just simply depends on who we subscribe to. If we subscribe to Rabbi Kiva, they're both going to bring an Ashem Talui. And if we subscribe to the Chacham, then they're not going to bring, neither are going to bring any carbon. Okay, that was all case number one. So, in case number one, one piece was Kodesh, the other piece was Chol. So, either he or somebody violated Me'ila, and the question of whether or not you bring a carbon on Suffolk Me'ila, and it really just goes back to the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Case number two. Chatichas, we're on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Chatichas chelev and chatichas chulin. A piece of chelev and a piece of chulin. And again, the two pieces are in front of you. You ate one of those two pieces, and you don't know which piece you ate. Achal, achas, mehen ve'en yodea, eze mehem achal. So here now, it's possible that you violate Nisr Kares. So this is now going to be classic. So maybe Asham Tali. So you bring an Asham Tali. Achal Sashnia. Maybe Chata. So if you eat the first piece, so it's a Suffolk, you bring an Asham Tali. If you eat the second piece, so now you for sure ate Chalev, and now you bring a Karman Chatas. Pretty straightforward. Achal Echad is Rishon of Acher V'Achal Sashnia. Zeh maybe Asham Tali. V'zeh maybe Asham Tali. If you, if one person ate one piece and another person ate the other piece, they're both going to bring an Ashram Talui. Leave the words Divrei Rabbi Kiva out, because this is not just limited to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. They both possibly violate Nesr Chatas. And so therefore, they're both going to bring an Ashram Talui. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shnei Mevim Chatas Achas. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, again, Rabbi Shimon allows for a Tanai. So they'll bring a Chatas, one Chatas. Again, one of those two people ate the Chalev. We don't know which one, but for sure one of them did. You'll bring a Chatas, and the Chatas will be brought out Tanai. The condition. If I'm the one who need it, it'll serve me. If you're the one who need it, it'll serve you. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Ein Shnayim Mevi'im Chatas Achas. And Rabbi Yossi simply does not subscribe to this idea that you could be bringing a Chatas Al Tanai. Okay, that was case number two. Case number three. Chatichas Chelev and Chatichas Kodesh. The two pieces in front of you. One is Chelev and the other is Kodesh. Achal Achas Mehem Ve'ein Yodeh Mehezem Achal. So you ate one of the two pieces, but you don't know which piece that you ate. So here now, consider the possibilities. Either I ate Chalev, or I ate Kodesh. Now, given those are the two possibilities, maybe Ashram Talui. So you're for sure going to bring an Ashram Talui. Now, consider, is this just the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? So, no, it's not just the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. This is Lekulei Alma. Why? Because, again, one of those two pieces was Chalev. And you may have eaten it. So therefore, it's not just a suffix on Me'ila, it's a suffix on an Issa Karis, it's a suffix on Chalev. And so therefore you have to bring an Ashram Talui according to everybody. Achas Hashnia. Now, let's say you bring the, I'm sorry, you ate the second piece. So now, Sachakol, you know that you ate Chalev and you know you ate Kodesh. So maybe Chatos v'Ashram Vadai. So now you bring a Chatos for the Chalev and the Ashram Vadai for the Kodesh, for the violation of Me'ila. Achal Echad is Rishon Uva Acher Uva Achal Hashnia. So here in our pace, in our scenario where it's one piece Kodesh, the other piece Chalev, one person ate one piece, the other person ate the other piece, each one does not know which piece they ate. Zem may be Ashram Talui, Zem may be Ashram Talui. They're both going to have to bring an Ashram Talui, because again, they both may have eaten the Chalev. On the suffix that they ate the Chalev, they're both going to have to bring an Ashram Talui. And Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, period. Now again, according to the Tanakhama, there's nothing to do for the Me'ila because it's only suffix Me'ila. And there's no carbon for suffix Me'ila. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnei Mevim Chatas V'Asham. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, here's what the two of them could do. They could bring one Chatas and one Karban Asham. Because again, he allows for a Tanai. And the condition will go like this. If I'm the one who ate the Chalev, then you're the one who ate the Kodesh. And therefore, the Chatas will serve me. And the Me'ila, the Asham Me'ila will serve you. And if the reverse is true, or I ate the Kodesh and you ate the Chalev, so then the Asham will serve me. And the Chatas will serve you. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Ein Shnayim Mevi'im Chatas V'Asham. I'm sorry, Chatas V'Asham. Right. Mevi'im Chatas V'Asham Echad. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he does not allow for Tanai, as we've already stated two times, and now we just stated for the third time. He does not allow for tonight to win Karbanos or Brat. Scenario now number four. Scenario number four. We're almost done. There are five of them. Chatichas chelav and chatichas chelav kodesh. One piece is chelav and the other one is chelav kodesh. So one piece is just a regular piece of chelav of an animal, forbidden, with an issur kares. And the other piece is chelav plus, it's also kodesh. It belonged to a carbon. They're both forbidden, and one is double forbidden. So one of the two pieces, you know which one you ate. So maybe chatas. So you bring a carbon to chatas because mi man nafshach, you ate chelav. It just happens to be then the other piece was not just chelav, it was chelav kodesh, a double iser. But you for sure ate chelav, and therefore you have to bring a karmel chatas. Rabbi Kiva omer af hashem toloi. Now Rabbi Kiva says you have to bring an hashem toloi. Because you may have eaten the chelav kodesh piece. You don't know for sure, but you may have. That is a suffix. It's a suffix on mi'ila. And again, Rabbi Kiva lishita so is of the opinion that a suffix on mi'ila, you bring an hashem toloi. No, in addition to bringing the karmel chatas, you also bring an Ashram Talui. That's the language of the Mishnah, Af Ashram Talui. Achal es Eshniya. Now, if you ate the second piece, maybe Shnei Chatos v'Ashram Vadai. So now, what did you violate? Three Yisurim. Now, it happens to be you repeated the Yisur of Chelev, but Mishnah must be talking about a scenario where there was a break in the middle. Maybe there was the Yediya in the middle. Whatever the case is, you ate one piece. Then with a break, you ate the second piece. So that's Chelev and Chelev. And since the second piece, or at least one of the two pieces, is also Kodesh, that's also Mi'ila as well. So that's two Karmen Chatzuses and one Ashram Vaday. Achal Echad as Rishon Va Acher Va Achal as Hashniya. Now one person eats the first piece, the second person eats the second piece. Zemi Vichatzus, Zemi Vichatzus. Look, they both ate Chalef. So they're both going to have to bring a Karmen Chatzus. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Zem Evian, Ashram Talui. And Rabbi Kiva says they also both have to bring an Ashram Talui because again, for both of them, it's a suffix whether or not they violate the Yisra Me'ilam. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zemi Vichatzos, Vizemi Vichatzos, Ushnei Mevi'im Ashram Echad. And here Rabbi Shimon, again, allowing for this condition to be done, where the condition is either, I'll bring a Chatzos, you'll bring a Chatzos, we'll start there. Good. Now, we're going to bring one carbon Ashram, not an Ashram Talu, an Ashram Me'ilam. Now, which one of us ate the piece, we don't know, but one of us did. And so therefore, if I'm the one who needs it, the Ashram Vadai will serve me. If you're the one who needs it, the Ashram Vadai will serve you. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Shnei Mevi'im Ashram Echad. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no Tanai can be performed on a carbon.
Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi
Yossi
also, right?
I mean,
you assume it's the same,
right? Not necessarily. It does seem that way from the structure of the Mishnah. But the introduction of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah is only because he just simply requires an Ashram Talui on a Suffolk Me'ilah. But in terms of whether he agrees to Tanai or not to Tanai, not clear. Or at least I don't think you can say anything conclusive on that. Chatichas chelav v'chatichas chelav nosar. And here we are up now to the fifth and final scenario in the Mishnah. And one piece was chelav and the other piece was chelav nosar. So one piece had one iser kares and the other piece had two isuri kares. Now how can one piece of meat have two isuri kares on it? Right? Isn't it violating rules of iser chalal iser? I'm so happy you asked. The Gemara is going to ask that question. And we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. So one piece is chelav and the other piece is chelav nosar. Achal achas mehem ve'en yodei eze mehem achal. So he ate one of the two pieces and he doesn't know which piece he ate. So again, maybe chatos ve'asham talui. So here you're going to bring an chatos and asham talui. And this is not limited to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. This is l'kulei alma. Why? Because consider, nosar is not mi'ila. Nosar is an iser kares. So here he for sure violated chelav because both pieces were chelav. He possibly violated nosar. One of those two pieces were nosar. So you vada violated Nisar Kares, you suffic violated Nisar Kares, so that will yield one carbon chatas, one Hashem Talui, lechule ama according to everyone. Achas Hashnia, if you eat the second piece, maybe gimel chatos, you have to bring three carbon chatases. One for chelev number two, and again, assuming that there is some break between chelev one and chelev two, and a third for the nosar. Achal echad es rishon va'acher va'achal es Hashnia. First person eats the first piece, second person eats the second piece. Zemi vichatos v'ashem talui, v'zemi vichatos v'ashem talui. Again, very straightforward. One is going to bring the chatzos and the ashem talui, and the other is going to bring the chatzos and the ashem talui. Super straightforward. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zemi vichatos v'zemi vichatos, u'shnei mevi'im chatas achas. Now, Rabbi Shimon allows for the consolidation of that third carbon. that third carbon can be brought not as an Hashem Toli, but can be brought as a real Chatas, because again, either I ate the Noser, you ate the Noser, one of us two did. So we'll bring a carbon Chatas al Tanai on the condition. If I'm the one who ate it, so then it'll apply for me, and if you're the one who ate it, it'll apply for you. And Rabbi Shimon allows for Tanai to be done over a carbon. And at this point in time, hopefully you can guess the rest of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Kol Chatas Sheiba al Chet, Ein Shnayim Mevi'in Osa. When you have a carbon that's coming as a chet, two people cannot bring it. Meaning the chet carbon of the chatas, of the asham, they have to be super specified. They have to be coming for one person. You can't bring it and say, well, if I need it, then it works for me. And if you need it, it works for you. It has to be coming by one individual. And so therefore, he does not allow for any stipulations to be done over the chatas or over the asham. As we already saw in the Mishnah, the Gemara just simply at this point in time is super spelling it out. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah, admittedly a really long Mishnah, but when all said and done, as I pointed out, it's just a couple of ideas, of concepts, and then just a question of plugging them in to the various scenarios. It is really just a classic form of the Mishnah of just simply saying, now that we know these principles, let's see how they apply in these various scenarios, and we just went through it. Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman LeRav Yosi Chatas Hu DeLo Maisi Shneim HaAshem Talui Maisi Shneim. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, so two people cannot bring a chatas, but seemingly two people could be bringing an Hashem Talui. So, Haina Tanakama. So, isn't that basically the same thing as a Tanakama? Meaning, in the scenario that Rabbi Yossi illustrates, he's rejecting Rabbi Shimon, but in doing so, he's just reiterating the viewpoint of the Tanakama. And so, what did we gain by Rabbi Yossi being introduced in the Mishnah? Now, maybe you'll tell me there are subtle differences between Rav Yossi and the Tanakama. Now, maybe the subtle differences between them is, remember how we discussed and debated whether to bring an Hashem Talui. Does it have to be that there's a suffix in one piece, or does it have to be that there are two pieces there? One being Aser and the other being Mutter, and you ate one of the two, you don't know which one you ate. That's Chaticha Bein HaChatichos. Maybe that's the machlokis in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, but the Gemara rejects that out of hand. V'atayin Rav Yossi Omer, Zeh Mevi Hashem Talui V'Zeh Mevi Hashem Talui. Remember in our Mishnah, Rav Yossi says they both are going to have to bring an Hashem Talui. The first person who ate and the second person who ate. Consider, when the second person ate his piece, how many pieces were out there?
One.
Only one piece was out there. So obviously you don't need the Shtei Chatichos requirement according to Rav Yossi. So Amar Leah, Kamash Malan, Deman Tanakam, Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. The Rabbi Yossi is reiterating the position of the Tanakama. What do we gain by just simply saying, and Rabbi Yossi says, what we gain is attribution. We first had it as the Tanakama, which is an anonymous viewpoint, and now we're saying that the Tanakama is Rabbi Yossi, and so now, you know, when you say over halacha and you give proper attribution of who said it, maybe it's a ge'ula. I know it only begs the next question, which is, why doesn't the Mishnah just simply present that the Tanakama is the position of Rabbi Yossi? But I would suggest, but it's merely a suggestion, I didn't see this, but I would suggest that maybe by the Mishnah framing it that way, that the Tanakama, the anonymous first viewpoint, is also the majority viewpoint. And so what the Mishnah is telling us is that this is in fact the halacha. I didn't love that suggestion because generally we pass on like Rabbi Yossi over others. Okay, but anyway, we move along. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas kodesh, chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev kodesh, chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev nosar. That's the Mishnah just giving us the heading of the last three scenarios of the Mishnah, where basically it's chelev and it's one piece is chelev. The scenario number four, one piece is chelev and the other piece is chelev kodesh. Scenario number five, one piece is chelev and the other piece is chelev nosar. One piece is chelev and the other piece is chatichas chelev. Yeah,
nosar.
And the other one was chelev nosar. Okay, so the last three scenarios of our Mishnah. Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman V'Leisi Nami Asham V'Adai D'Nosar D'Kodeshu. So the Gemara says, let's go to that last scenario. In the last scenario, one piece was Chalev and the other piece was Chalev Nosar. Now, Chalev, of course, can come from animals that are carbon and animals that are not carbon. But in the Mishnah scenario, in scenario number five, one was Chalev and the other piece was Chalev Nosar. Now, you know how you got to Nosar. We all know. I'm just going over it for us. It got to Nosar because it was a carbon. We shechted the carbon, and now you are on the clock in terms of how much time you have to eat the meat of that animal.
One is kachim,
one is not. So, right. The one's kachim, the other one's not kachim. And now that you're on the clock, so you have to eat it within a certain time limit. Depending on what kind of carbon it is, it has to be consumed within that time. If it's not consumed within that time, so then whatever's left over is called nosar. Okay. What does that mean? that in addition to eating nosar, which is an iser kares, which we already were introduced in the beginning of the Masechta, we also have to take into consideration that it was a karbon. And as such, when you ate the nosar, not only are you violating the iser of nosar, but you're also eating kodesh, which means that you're also violating mi'ila. And what the Gemara now wants to know is that not only should you bring the chatas for the chalev, not only should you bring the chatas for the nosar, but the nosar also is kodesh. And as a result of that, you should also be bringing an asham mi'ila for eating kodesh. That's the Gemara's question. So v'leisi nami asham v'adeh denosar the kodeshu. So amrele delais beishava pruta. So the Gemara gives an ukimta. So the Gemara says the reason why there is no asham mi'ila for eating the nosar is because the nosar was not equivalent of a pruta. Okay. And remember, we said this all the time, and we're going to hear this in Me'ila. Our next Masechta is going to be Me'ila. And we're going to hear this repeatedly. The Isser of Me'ila is an Isser of misappropriation. It's theft. So its parameters, its shiur, is not going to be a volume. It's going to be a value. And the value is going to be a Shavapruta. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the reason why that you will be violating the Isser of Chalev because it's Chalev. And you're going to be violating the Nosar because it is Nosar. But the only way to violate Mi'ila is only if its value was that of a Shava Pruta. And what we could suggest over here is that the value of it was less than a Shava Pruta.
Meaning you have to have a Kezayit, right? So you're saying that the value of Kezayit is less than...
No.
Kezayit
is a volume.
I know, but for Chelev, you have to have Kezayit.
Oh, yeah, correct.
So for you're saying that Kezayit should be less than 2 Pruta.
Well, when we're talking about value, the Gemara is going to say it. When it talks about value, it really depends on what it is, right? This is leftovers, right? What's the value of your leftovers in your fridge? Well, your leftovers are high value, but this is leftovers. So now, when we're talking about value, you're seeing. So delays bei shava pruta. So vahami kar deis bei shava pruta askinan. So the Gemara says, now originally it was at a shava pruta diktani, and how do I know that originally it was a shava pruta? Because asham vaday, diktani asham vaday. Because remember the earlier cases in the Mishnah where it said that if you ate the kodesh, you're going to be bringing an asham vaday, meaning the asham for me'ila. Samarle ahu chaticha delo nosahi shava pruta. Vayesh ocha achila achas diktani bei nosar. I'm sorry. Chaticha delo nosar hi shava pruta. So the Gemara says very simply, earlier in the Mishnah we were talking about where the kodesh was not nosar. So there you could talk about having a value of being above a pruta. But when we're talking about nosar is now leftover meat. It's been around at least one day, and by shlamim it could have been around for more than 2 days. Mm-hmm. Two day old meat without refrigeration, okay, doesn't sound pleasant. It doesn't have value. That's what the Gemara is arguing. So the Gemara says, okay, these are good arguments. However, I'm going to take us back to a Mishnah that we did a week and a half ago in the Daf on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah there told us how you can eat one food and be subject to all these Yisurim. So the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah that told us that you can eat one food, and in that one food, it's going to be nosar, and you're going to bring a chatos for the eating of the nosar, and you're also going to bring an asham me'ila because it was karbon. So here you had a scenario in which it was nosar, and it was also me'ila as well. So Amrle ahiba gasa, vahiba daka, ahiba yamosak shamim, hacha, biyamosakhama. So the Gemara says, okay, what we could do is contextually give different scenarios in which nosar can be valued as shavapruta and sometimes cannot be valued as shavapruta. So the Gemara says, consider. If the nosar was a lot of nosar, so again, it's leftovers, and it's leftover meat, and there was no refrigeration. So under most circumstances, it's not going to be a shavapruta. Like the Gemara over here pointed out that the animal wasn't that big, and it was the summertime. Now, I'm not sure if the Gemara is compounding the scenario or they were different scenarios. Either way, it comes out to basically be the same point. It's a small animal. It's the summertime. It's hot, right? The meat's been outside now for a day, maybe 2 days. So there's no way that it could be a shavapruta. If it's a large animal and it's cold outside, and so maybe then the leftover meat can be valued as shavapruta. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah back on Yud Gimel is talking about that scenario where there was a lot of meat, it's cold, so therefore the residual meat left over can be valued as shavapruta. Over here, no, it's a small animal. It's really hot outside. The nosar is not a shava pruta. Okay. Continuing now, the Gemara Echad as Rishona. Okay. We're on the last case of the Mishnah. Amale Rava, L'Rav Nachman, Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon Isser Chal Al Isser. Okay, and now the Gemara's discussion. Look, we have a piece of nosar. Sorry, let me start in the correct order. We have a piece of chelev that's also nosar. You have a piece of chelev that's also nosar. What just happened? The animal's chelev is, of course, already forbidden. And now what we're going to be doing is superimposing another isser on top of that. And now we get back to the discussion of isser chalal isser. It's one of the largest themes that we discuss in this particular masechta, because in this masechta we talk about compound isurim and multiple isurim on one item. And so over here, how can it be chelev and also be subject to the isser of nosar? V'atanya. And not only that, furthermore, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Ochel Nevela B'Yom Kippur and Potter. You eat Nevela on Yom Kippur. So the Nevela already is Osar. Now what's Yom Kippur going to be adding? Yom Kippur is going to be adding also another Isser, but it's already Osar. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, so you will get a pass on Yom Kippur, only because it's already Osar. And Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Over here in our Mishnah, why aren't we arguing the same thing? It's already chelev. And now on top of that, you want to compound the iser noser on top of the iser chelev. Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow for that. I'm Rav Sheshes, Brei Ravidi, Kigon Da'achal Kulya Bechalba. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the Mishnah scenario is. It's the kidney. Now the kidney's got a layer of fat around it. Okay? One point, not so far distant past. I got to peel the fat that is surrounding the kidney of an animal. So the kidney's got a layer of fat around it. That fat around it is chelev. And so the Mishnah scenario could be that it's the kidney with its chelev, with its connective chelev. The kuli b'chaba nami, hakai alab iser olin. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're talking about the kidney with the layer of fat around it of a karban. Let's remind each other what happens to that kidney and the fat that's around it by a karban. It is not to be consumed, but rather it goes up onto the mizbeach. It's the imurim of the karban that go up onto the mizbeach. As such, it's not to be eaten. And so therefore, there already is an Isser Olin. Isser Olin just simply means, because it is supposed to go up onto the Mizbeach, so by definition, we're already not allowed to eat it. So once again, the Gemara says, well, why aren't we employing the rule of Isser Chalal Isser? Hei chias Isser Nosar Chalal Allah. So how can the Isser Nosar come and impose on top of the Isser of Olin? So the Gemara says, and I know what you're ready to suggest. You're ready to suggest that the Isser Olin is a lot. But then Nosar is an Isser Kares. So that's more. And in the Isser Chalal Isser discussion that we've had already numerous times, so don't we say that if the second Isser is going to provide more, again, qualitative, quantitative, Isser Kolal, Isser Mosif, like we discussed previously in the Masechta, so then the second Isser can impose on the first Isser. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but that answer won't work over here. V'ha nevela d'Isser Kalhu v'yom ha-kipurim d'Isser Chamorhu v'lo ka'asi Isser yom ha-kipurim d'chamor v'chayal al nevela d'kalhu. The Gemara says, remember the halacha of Rabbi Shimon that we just learned minutes earlier, which is that according to Rabbi Shimon, if I eat nevela on Yom Kippur, so I only get an Isser of nevela, I don't get an Isser of Yom Kippur. Now consider, nevela is a lot. Yom Kippur is an Isser Karetz. Obviously, Yom Kippur is more, qualitatively more. It is now coupled with it, the Isser Karetz. And yet, Rabbi Shimon over there says that you only get the Isser of nevela, you don't get the Isser of Yom Kippur. So just because the second Isser provides more, that is not enough for Rabbi Shimon to have the second Isser imposed upon the first Isser. Same thing over here. When I have my kidney with the fat around it, with the surrounding fat around it, so that kidney already is an Isser Olin. And once it's Osir, according to Rabbi Shimon, it will not allow for the second Isser to impose upon the first Isser. And so we are right now at a standstill. How can we suggest that there is going to be the secondary Isser of Noser on top of the Chalev, when it's seemingly our Mishnah, at least Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, does not subscribe to Isser Chalal Isser?
If the Imurim have to go up on the Mizbeach, then it's impossible for it to be Noser.
It's,
right, but you said that.
Because no.
The Noser goes away and goes back on the Mizbeach.
It's not...
No, there's no Noser. In other words, it's on the Mizbeach.
Noser first.
The
No, if it goes back on the mizbeach and a piece of it falls off, that's not right.
Or, just to put even simpler terms, Ben's right, but even simpler than that, you didn't put it on the mizbeach. You shafted it, and you failed to put it on the mizbeach.
It
should become noser, but what bothers the Gemara now is that it already has an isser of olin. So the isser of olin is there, and now you want to add another isser on top of it, and you can't, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. So Ella Bikashim Gali Rahmana Da'asi Isr Khalal Isr. So the Gemara says, okay. And so what we're going to throw out over here is a little bit of a curveball, and that is as follows. That generally speaking, when we say Rabbi Shimon holds that Ein Isr Khalal Isr, so that is a bit Rova Torah Kula Birova Torah, by the majority of the body of laws of the Torah, that is a rule, that's a principle, that Ein Isr Khalal Isr. However, when it comes to Kachim, so Isser Chalal Isser, that a Isser can impose on top of another Isser. Now, why categorically are we going to divide the world of Kachim to the world of the rest of Torah? And why by Kachim do we say Isser Chalal Isser? So I don't have a Svara. I don't have a good way to formulate it, to make it, you know, to make it clear to us. I don't know why it should be that Kachim would be different, but this is what the Gemara is proposing. Now, the Gemara has evidence that this is in fact so, that when you have Kachim, you are going to subscribe, even if you normally don't subscribe to Isser Chalal Isser. So by Kachim, we are going to subscribe to it, that. How do I know that? The Tanya, because of the following Brisa, Asher LaShem. Lerabos Es Ha'imurim. So a person's Tamei needs a carbon. That's an Isser Kares. What if a person's Tamei and he eats the Imurim? Now he eats the Imurim. You shouldn't have eaten the Imurim to begin with. Imurim are already subject to an Isser because, again, Isser Olin. It's supposed to go up onto the Mizbeach. And yet, the Braisa says, Lerabos Esayimurim. So you're going to be in violation even if you eat the Imurim as well. Now, they're already an Isser Olin, V'chelev Kai Alayhu, and the Isser Chelev is already going to apply to it as well, B'Isser Kares, V'Ka'asi Isser Tumah Kai Alayhu. And yet, what we're saying is that the Isser of Tumah is going to come and impose on top of that as well. So you have an Isser Olin, you have an Isser of Chelev, and now on top of that, you're also going to have the Isser of Tameh, again, because when it comes to Kachim, so Isser Chal al Isser.
It's called
al Musa. It's just the idea that it just adds. It just adds when it comes to Kachim. Mosif means that have to be adding a dimension. I don't know if what dimension you're adding. Nosif already is in Isser Kari. So what's Tumah adding in terms of dimensions? It's just the idea that when it comes to Kachim, they have an Isser imposing on top of another. Teida Shekenhu. The Gemara says, Daha Rebbe Sfir Le Isser Chal Al Isser, Vahani Mi Le Isser Chamor Al Isser Kal. Now the Gemara says, look, I'm going to prove this to you again. Because Rebbe says that an Isser can impose on top of another Isser. But that's only when the second Isser has a qualitative addition. It adds the dimension where it's more Chamor. Aval Isser Kal Al Isser Chamor Lo. Now, but if the second Isser is a milder Isser, so then there's no room for the second Isser to impose on the first Isser. And Uvikashim Shamina Le Da'amar Isser Kal Al Isser Chamer Namichayel. Now, I'm going to show you now that according to Rabbi, when it comes to Kachim, the second Isser is going to apply. There's room for the second Isser, even if the second Isser, forget the fact that the second Isser is just on equal footing, even if the second Isser is lesser than the first Isser, I'm going to show you that according to Rebbe, the second Isser is going to apply when it comes to Kachim. How? Because Isser Me'ila Kal. Who? Now the Isser of Me'ila, that's a light Isser. Everything over here is spoken in relative terms. The Isser of Me'ila is a light Isser. Why? Ha'misa. Because it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now by the way, we just saw in the Gemara, it's a machlokas whether it's Misa B'dei Shemayim or it's a lav. But let's assume right now, in other words, we're going with maximum amount it could be. It's Misa B'dei Shemayim. V'Isser Kachim, Isser Chamor. Kares. Now the Isser of Kachim is a greater Isser, and that's Kares. V'asi Isser Misa Chayal Al Isser Kares. The Tanya. Now I'm going to show you how an Isser Misa can impose on an already existing Isser Kares. Now Misa B'dei Shemayim is one rung lower than Kares. Good. And how to express that in quantitative terms? On another occasion. All we need to know now is that Misa B'dei Shemayim is less than Kares. And I'm going to show you that according to Rebbe, something which is already subject to the Isser Kares can also get on top of that Misa B'dei Shemayim. D'Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Kol Chelev La'Hashem, L'Rabbos Imurim, Kachim Kalem, L'Me'ila. Now the Chelev La'Hashem is coming to tell me that when it comes to the Imurim of Kachim Kalem, the parts of a Shlomim that need to go up onto the Mizbeach, the Imurim, which include the Chelev, is going to be subject to the Me'ila as well, to the Isser Me'ilah as well. So what did we just see together? Something that already is Chalev, meaning Chalev, and something which is already in Isser Kares because it's Chalev, and now, once it is the Imurim of a Karban, is also going to be subject to the Isser of Me'ilah. Now, Me'ilah is less than Kares.
Yeah.
Me'ilah is Misa Bidei Shamayim. So Isser Me'ilah v'ka, so Umi'ilah Isser Misa v'ka Chayil al Isser Chalev, the Isser Kares, who Shmamina v'kachim Galikra. So you see that by Karbanos, we have a special exception. The exception is that Isser Chal al Isser, if the second Isser is greater, if the second Isser is equal, even if the second Isser is less than the first Isser Chal al Isser when it comes to Kachim. And so therefore, that resolves our original difficulty. Our original difficulty was, how could Nosar impose already on the Isser of Chalev? Don't we say Ein Isser Chal al Isser? So the answer is generally we do. But when it comes to Kachim, we see that it's an exception to the rule, and that by Kachim, Isser is going to, in fact, be Chal al Isser. The Gemara is going to be asking one more question. V'hatani Rabbi Shimon Amar ain't pigol ba'olin, v'ain nosar ba'olin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a brisa, and the brisa says that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Isser pigol cannot apply to those things which are going to go up onto the Mizbech because they're already Usser. And the Isser of nosar cannot apply to those things going up onto the Mizbech because it's already Usser. And once something is usher with the Isser of Olin, so therefore it cannot have a second Isser imposed on top of it. Neither the Pigel, the Isser of Pigel, nor the Isser of Nosar. So, as much as we have advocated and advanced the thesis that when it comes to Kachem, Isser Chal al Isser, so the Gemara torpedoes it with a very short but succinct brisa that we do not say that when it comes to a when it comes to even by Kachem. So Ella Tanai Hiva Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, the Igadami Bikashim Isser Chal al Isser, the Igadami Bikashim Nami Ain Isser Chal al Isser. So the Gemara acknowledges that Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint regarding Isser Chal al Isser when it comes to Kachim is subject to a debate. Some say that he does subscribe to Isser Chal al Isser, some say he does not. Okay, so the Gemara ends off with it's a machlok is within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now, if I subscribe to the viewpoint of Ein Isser Chal al Isser, even as it relates to Kachim, so then Kol Chelv LaHashem, which we learned earlier, came to taught us that even though I have something that goes up onto the Mizbeach, it's also going to be subject to the Me'ilah. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not true. Once it's in Isser Olin, it's not going to be subject to Me'ilah. In the version of Rabbi Shimon that we say Ein Isser Chal al Isser, what does he do with that pasuk? What does he do with that drasha? My avilei mukim le bevlad de kachem. So the Gemara says that as far as Me'ilah and Karban coexisting, or Me'ilah, I should say better, Me'ilah and Chalev coexisting, that would be in the following scenario. It would be vlad de kachem. Super specific scenario in which you had a Karban which gave birth to another Karban. In other words, an animal designated as a Karban, obviously a female, and he gave birth to another animal. Now, we already discussed this extensively, and we spent a lot of time in Temur discussing this. What happens to the resulting baby, the offspring of a Karban? So it becomes a Karban. That's not a question. What is the question? When does it become a Karban? Developing in utero or only after it's born? Machlokas. Let's assume right now that it is at the point of birth, which means that in utero it's Chulin, and when it's born, it's now a Karban. So at birth, what do I have? I have the Isser of Karban / Me'ilah, and all the other Isurim coming at the same time. When we have concurrent Isurim, even if I do not subscribe to Isser Chal al Isser, but with concurrent Isurim, it does apply. So the Gemara says, V'la dekashim be'av yasin ye'e kadoshin de'tarvayu be'hadad de'asu. And now in such a scenario, since the Isurim come at the same time, so therefore one is going to be subject to the multiple Isurim, even if I subscribe to the idea of Ein Isser Chal al Isser. Hadron lachtam shchita, that is the end of the fifth parak of the Masechta. This morning we have the opportunity to start now the sixth parak of the Masechta. Before we do so, let's just quickly recap what we saw this morning. So for this morning, we dealt with scenarios in which a person ate multiple Isurim. He's not sure which Isur he ate, or he ate a piece which may be Asur or may be Mutter. What are going to be the resulting karbanos of this? So the Mishnah illustrated five different scenarios in which you had these multiple pieces in front of you. You ate one, you ate the second, you ate one, somebody else ate the second, and the various carbon ramifications of all these scenarios. And then all we did with the Gemara is just basically we tied up a couple of loose ends in the Mishnah and some open-ended questions, and we ended off with a fundamental debate about how to view Isser Chal al Isser when it comes to carbonos. Hamevi Hashem Talui v'noda lo shelo chatam. You're bringing Hashem Talui. Now, why are you bringing Hashem Talui? So because there were two pieces in front of you. One was this or the other was Heter. You ate one of those two. You don't know which you ate. Okay, you're looking for that other piece. You can't find the other piece. So right now you are officially in a state of suffix, a suffix on an Issa Karis. Okay, so now, next thing you need to do, you need to go buy yourself a nice animal. It's going to be an Asham Talui. You're going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to bring your Asham Talui. Okay, and that what that's going to do is that's going to hold you off. It's Megan Min HaYisurin, like we saw in Rashi. So it protects you from the Yisurin so that until you know otherwise, you are now going to be protected. You're going to be in a layer of protection. If you discover afterwards, subsequently, that you did not eat the chalev, okay, all is fine. You brought a carbon. The carbon was on a suffix. Suffix has been resolved. If you learn that you actually ate chalev, so then you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. And what was the purpose of the Hashem Talui? To hold you in abeyance. Good. What we're going to be discussing in our Mishnah now coming up is, what if the point of discovery comes sometime in process? Okay, so a little bit of drama in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have this person bringing his Hashem Talui, and now, at various points in the Avoda, so the discovery is made that he did not eat the chalev. Okay, so, right, a phone call comes in, and the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash picks up the phone. He didn't eat the chalev. He doesn't need to bring, we for sure know that he didn't eat the chalev, and he doesn't have to bring the Hashem Talui. And what we're going to be learning in the course of our Mishnah is, at what point do we say, basically, okay, let's call the whole thing off, or do we go through with it? Etc. Let's say the discovery occurs after he was makdish the animal, but before shechita. Okay. So now, what becomes of the animal? Meaning, he now knows he doesn't have to bring the animal, but he was makdish it. So according to Reb Meir, so basically, okay, the party's over. We can all go home. And when we say we can all go home, including the animal, meaning we were only the makdish the animal because of the suffix. But there's no longer a suffix. So therefore, the animal's kedusha status just simply is lifted off. It's like hekdesh betos, meaning I was only makdish because of the suffix, but now that I know better, I was informed, so therefore, the carbon is no longer a carbon. Now, the chachamim say, look, you're not going to be bringing the carbon because there's no longer a suffix, but it was a carbon, it remains a carbon. And so since it remains a carbon, you allow it, you wait for it to get a blemish. Once it gets a blemish, you're then going to redeem it. In other words, it has kedusha sagof. And the only way that you can redeem it is only with a mum. Rabbi Elazar Amar Yikrav. Now Rabbi Elazar takes the third opinion on this issue, and that is, you know what, bring it anyway. Now Rabbi Elazar should sound familiar because we saw this earlier in the Masechta. Rabbi Elazar says, what exactly would be a trigger for bringing Hashem Talui? For Rabbi Elazar, you know what the trigger for bringing Hashem Talui is? Being human in this world. Because when you're human in this world, so we're all going to be making mistakes. Right? Remember the statement to Rabbi Eliezer we heard earlier in the Masechta? That a person could be misnadev Hashem Talui b'chol yom. Every day you bring an Hashem Talui. Simply because, you know what?
There's no reason in this case. You don't know what you did.
Oh, so you didn't do this, but you did something else. I know. No. It's an Hashem. It's carbon Hashem. It can't be an Adava. It has to come for something. But for Rabbi Eliezer, the threshold of something is a really, really light threshold.
Even if you don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So Rabbi Elazar, Yikro Shimeno Baal Chet Zahare Hu Baal Chet Acher. You did something wrong. Okay? Look, but we're human. We're human. Now, of course, when you say, meaning, let's put this in context, just that we all appreciate. We're talking about violating an Isser B'Shogeg. We're not, or not even Shogeg. It's a suffix. In other words, can we say for sure that we were perfect today? Rabbi Lazar's argument is, no, we can't say that for sure. Now, I understand the chiddush is, and that's why I'm getting all the reaction. The chiddush is that, yeah, but I can't say for sure that I did something, or I'm not even at the point where I questionably did something. You know, I just woke up this morning. And you're telling me, safek aninis or kares? But Rabbi Lazar says yes. Imish anishchad. Okay, now. Let's say, so far we discussed what happens when the discovery of innocence comes before Shechita. Now, let's say the discovery of innocence comes after you shech the animal, but before you did the Zrika Sadam. Now what? No delo, yishafech hadam v'arbasa yasal beisasrefa. So you can't redeem the animal. Redemption of the animal is no good. Just simply reverting it back to chulin status, like Rameir said earlier, you shechted it already as a carbon. And so now, what are you going to do? You're going to sprinkle the blood, but you know that you don't have to bring this carbon. You discover that you did not eat the chalav definitively. So what happens? Disposal. The blood is going to be poured down. There's drainage in the Beis HaMikdash, and the meat is going to be taken out to the Beis HaSreifa. Everything will be disposed of. Nizrak Adam. Now, let's say you discover it after Zrikas Adam. So Yochel. So at that point in time, the carbon was brought correctly. And so therefore, the carbon is a successful carbon. The Kohanim now are allowed to eat this carbon. Even though as the Kohanim are eating it, just think about it from the mindset of the Kohanim. Why'd you bring this Hashem Talui? Oh, because of a Suffolk, which now you know no longer is a Suffolk. Okay, that's true, but still, as long as the Suffolk perpetuated through the Zrikas Adam, so now the carbon is a good carbon, and therefore is allowed to be eaten. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilo Adam Bekosi Zarek V'Abasar Yochal. Now Rabbi Yossi says that if the blood has been collected in a bowl, so that is good enough for the carbon to be considered having been brought. Right? Ha'omed Lizarek Kizarek Dami. Normally that's associated with Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara over here associates it with Rabbi Yossi. Asham Vadai Eino Kain. Now, all these halachas that we've learned regarding Asham Talui are not going to be the same by an Asham Vadai. So let's say that by the Asham Vadai, now consider over here, this is a harder case to even contemplate. Because in Asham Vadai, right now you're thinking, I definitively need to bring a carbon. And then what you discover later point in time is that, nah, you didn't know all the circumstances, and for reasons that you didn't consider, you do not need to bring a carbon. You didn't violate the Isser. Now, this is not like the Asham Talui. Asham Talui, I may have violated the Isser, and so therefore it's easier to understand that what you discovered is your Suffolk. You were wrong about the Suffolk. Here, definitely a harder case to consider, but still, consider. He thought he was on the hook for an Asham Vadai, and now he comes to discover that he does not bring an Asham Vadai. If this discovery comes before Shechita Yatzavir Rebbe Eder, so then you allow the animal to just simply go out, graze Mishanishchat. Now, if the discovery is after Shechita, is he cover? So then you are going to bury the animal, meaning disposal. Nizrak Hadam. Now, if the blood's been sprinkled, Habasu Yetzel LeBeis HaSreifa. So the meat is going to be taken out to the Beis HaSreifa, meaning because it was not necessary, so therefore this Shechita is just simply not viewed, this carbon is not viewed as a proper proper carbon. Note the discrepancy. Earlier we were talking about Sreifa, and here we're talking about Kvura. The Gemara is going to pick up on those notes and point that out and explain the discrepancy. Shor Haniskal Eino Kein. Also, everything we said regarding the Asham Talui, it's not true by the Asham Vada, as we just pointed out. It's also not going to be true by the Shor Haniskal. Consider, Shor Haniskal, an animal was charged with murdering a person. This animal now has to be put to death. This animal is going to be sent to Beis Din and tried in front of a Sanhedrin of 23. We saw all this in the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. Now, let's say the charges were just simply not correct charges. I don't know, Adam Zomimim. It is admittedly a strange scenario where the animal is falsely accused of things that the animal did not do. Right? Okay, whatever the case is. Okay, but anyway, vindication comes for the animal. Okay, so, Eino Kein. I think about the acquittal party for the animal that he's going to have. So Eino Kein Adshelo Niskal Yatzavira Be'eder. Now if this vindication comes before skila occurs, so then the animal just simply goes free. Now Mishaniskal. Now let's say that that vindication comes after the animal was stoned. Okay, so for the animal it's too late. So Mutter Bahana, it's a novella. Now normally Shor Haniskal is Asar Bahana, as we said repeatedly throughout Shas. However, over here, because it was charges that were not true, and the animal posthumously was vindicated, I know it doesn't do much for the animal, but does a lot for us, because the animal now is mutar bahana. Okay, right? Sorry for the mistake, but in the very least, though, you can get benefit from the animal, although it's a novella, so we're talking about dog food. But still, you're allowed to get hana. Egla arufa ain't okay. Now, it's not true by the egla arufa. By the egla arufa also. Unlike what we said by the Asham Talui, contrast that to the Egla Rufa. Anshelo Nerpa Teitza V'tira Be'edar. So again, the Egla Rufa, there was a murder. An unsolved murder. And so we go through the procedure of the Egla Rufa. Let's say the murder was solved. And news comes now down the pipe that this is not an unsolved murder, it's a solved murder. So now, if it's Anshelo Nerpa, if the news comes in before we hatcheted the calf, So tera v'titzer, I'm sorry, teitzer v'tera be'eder. So let the calf go free. Okay, we're all good. And mishenerpa, however, if the arifa was done tikaver b'mkama, you bury it in this place. Sha'al safik ba mitchila, kipra sfeika v'achala. Because remember, we decapitated over a safik. So during the point of decapitation, that's exactly why we decapitated it. So now, what we're going to do is what we're going to do anyway. Bury it right there in its place.
Why not dogs eating it?
Because it served its purpose. And so therefore, the Agla Rufa also is going to be Asr Bahana. Like, right? So we're just going to bury it in its place. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Okay, we are going to stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.